Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Coffee with Corey. I'm your host, Corey Smith, here to discuss some NC State football. Just a few days after they concluded things at ACC kickoff. Obviously, today is the final day of ACC kickoff here in Charlotte. I'm still in Charlotte. The only reason why I haven't done one of these before now was Wednesday night. Shout out to the 24/7 crew. Everybody went out that night. We got to spend some time with each other, ate some dinner. And then hung out with ACC media the later on that night, so I didn't get a chance to shoot it that day. Yesterday, I was out at DDIS 3SSB watching some NC State prospects and trying to gather some intel from there. Obviously, Jordan Page, a big target for NC State, and we'll have some more info on him later in the day or early tomorrow. I'm still trying to figure out when I'm going to be able to piece that together because I got another 2.5-hour drive ahead of me to get back to Raleigh as well later today. But wanted to talk about some ACC kickoff stuff for NC State, just my general takeaways. Sip a little bit of coffee here before we get things truly started. So wanted to go over five takeaways. Number one, just a quick recap for those that didn't pay attention. Please do go over to our YouTube account. Go watch all the videos. We posted the full videos of Dave Doran, or breakout interviews. I can get the, if people need it, I can get the full podium interviews as well. I felt like the breakout interviews were more pertinent just because of the fact that you can find the podium interviews on ACC Network. You can find them on, you can find the transcripts on our website. But as far as the videos were concerned, the breakout interviews with CJ Bailey, with Dave Doran, with Isaiah Shirley, with Duke Scott, we've got the full thing up on our YouTube channel, so do make sure that you check that out. Some very interesting quotes, and obviously we'll try to pick apart as much as we can over the next few days and weeks before NC State officially kicks off camp. They will report, we just found out this morning, officially will report on July 27th, which will be on a Monday, and then first practice is July 29th, so we'll have some access to that. We can post videos, we can do photos, we can do all the different stuff. From a little bit of that. So we'll try to have as much as we possibly can leading up to that. And obviously once fall camp starts, which will be exactly 1 month before the season kicks off on August 29th in Charlottesville, not in Rio, against UVA. So we'll have all the coverage that you possibly get from that. But just to recap ACC kickoff before we leave Charlotte and officially kind of put an end to this week in Charlotte. Number one, I'll go over five takeaways here. Number one, the confidence of CJ Bailey has never been higher, but I would never say that it's ever wavered. Like CJ Bailey, I think a lot of people are coming away from this and going, man, like this dude is such a confident quarterback. And I'm going, I mean, the same guy that you know, after the end of his first season said, you know, We'll bring it to we got it for Bill Belichick too. Like Bill Belichick, come on here. We'll put a whip on you too. I can't remember the exact quote, but like this dude has never wavered from confidence. Like he they lost the game against Georgia Tech on the road, and he was immediately just like, yeah, we got to bounce back. We got to beat UNC. It's my first game against them, but I don't want to lose that game. We're not going to lose that game. Blah blah blah. Like he's never wavered from his confidence. He's been an extremely confident dude, and one of the reasons why is because of the fact that he's had these intangible skills that not a lot of quarterbacks have. I mean, he's 6'6". He says he's 6'7". Says he's around 215 pounds now at this point, which is up from when he arrived at NC State. He said it was 174, 175. I can't remember the exact number. But, I mean, that's a lot of weight gain. Still probably more muscle that needs to be put on to be able to deal with the full brunt of once you get to the NFL level. But that not many quarterbacks can do what he can do at 6'6" or 6'7", whichever one you want to list him at. He's somebody that runs the football very well, you know, can break out of the pocket and run the football very well. I don't know that you're going to be asking him to be taking on, you know, any real contact as far as short yardage situations, things like that, because you do have Will Wilson. He's pretty good at that. If it's, you know, third and short or fourth and short, it's third and Will Wilson or fourth and Will Wilson. Like that's where you're at. If he gets the football in his hands, he's going to pick up a first down on third down or fourth down and keep moving the chains for you if you've got a short yardage situation or around the goal line, which he did 10 times last year at NC State. Record for a quarterback, record for a freshman quarterback, whichever one you want to throw out there, with 10 rushing touchdowns last season. But, you know, C.J. Bailey, I think the biggest thing that you take away from this is he's not just talking about, you know, the difference between his confidence now is not just talking about, I want to go out and win games. I feel confident in myself. I feel confident in my teammates, anything along those lines. Like, his confidence now is we feel we can win an ACC championship. We feel we can be that team that can go out there and compete, you know, day in and day out and be a team that can win every game this season. So as much as we're seeing him kind of grow as a player and get better as a player, I think the mentality, the physicality is getting better for him. But again, the confidence in himself and the confidence in his team has never changed. So I think we're going to see a little bit different, type of player for him. And I think that's where the additional confidence comes from. But man, like, again, this is the C.J. Bailey that we've known and loved for the last 2 years. And I think a lot more people are starting to get an idea of who he is. You know, I talked to one person last night, an ACC media member, that said, I think he's the best returning quarterback, not only ACC, but in college football. A lot of people are talking about Arch Manning. A lot of people are talking about, you know, Darian Mensah going down to Miami. There's, you know, John Mateer, all these other players across the country as far as quarterback situation. He's like, look, I mean, I don't see why you wouldn't say C.J. Bailey is the best returning quarterback. Now, does he have the best returning weapons or the best weapons around him? Probably not. You know, in comparison to what we know for those situations and those players. But when it comes to the physical skills, the way that he can drop back in the pocket, the way that he can evade pressure, and all the different things that he can do, he's like, I don't know why he's not considered one of the best returning quarterbacks in the country, not just the ACC. And he probably won't even be first team all ACC, but might not even be second team all ACC considering the votes early on in the season. But again, only first team comes out from the ACC preseason, and he probably won't be listed there. So again, just a little bit more of a motivation to say, all right, man, they don't think I'm the best, I'm going to go prove it. And that I think is something that C.J. Bailey has a chance to do this season, as long as he's consistently great in every single game, or at least consistently good to great in every single game. Just don't have down games where you throw for multiple interceptions and really hurt your offensive side of the football and put your defense in a bad situation. Now, number two here, Dave Doran. Look, man, like, year 14 for him, I don't think he gave a damn going into this thing. He's just like, look, man, I'm going to go up there. I'm going to say what I want to say. I'm going to, you know, go around and talk about my team. But whenever he's asked about, you know, anything that could be seen as a slight towards his team, he's very defensive about it. And the thing that he was the most defensive about on Wednesday was the questions about the softness of his schedule, which, now granted, it was rated by ESPN FPI as the easiest schedule in the ACC. I believe the third easiest schedule among Power 4 teams. So, you know, there was reason for the questions. But he basically said that any and all preseason rankings, any and all, preseason strength of schedule, he said was, and this is quoting him, not me, but bullshit, and said, there's no reason to be bringing that up until the end of the season, until we know what some of these teams look like. A lot of people didn't think last year was a strong strength of schedule for NC State. They finished with the most games against 9-plus win opponents last season, one of those being Georgia Tech that a lot of people didn't think was going to be great before the season. And NC State had to beat a top 10 and previously undefeated Georgia Tech team last year. So, again, I do agree with them somewhat, but also – I think there's a different way to answer that question, and it can just be, hey, we can look at it as an opportunity to go out there and try to win all these games and do the thing that we need to do, or we can look at it and, you know, take a step back and go, all right, man, this should be easy. And that's not the way to attack it. So there's, you know, there's different strokes for different folks. And Dave Doran, look, man, you know, as easygoing as he seems sometimes, if you slight his team at all, he is extremely defensive about it. And look, that's the exact same way he was on Wednesday. It's seen as a slight to say you've got an easy schedule. Look, man, this is coming from the same person who asked Roy Williams after, you know, getting the number one overall seed in the ACC tournament, if he felt like he had a, you know, an advantage in the fact that he didn't have to face some of the best teams in the ACC, and he called it horseshit. So, you know, it could be bull or it could be horse. Either one. Coaches don't like being asked about easy strength of schedule or easy schedule in the ACC, whatever it may be. Number three, I'm just going to say this. Like, we've talked to Duke Scott in the past, talked to him as a recruit before he got to NC State, talked to him, you know, a couple times in media availabilities. Same with Isaiah Shirley. Like, you know, got to see him as a high school player, got to, you know, talk to him once he's gotten to NC State, as he's gotten into the rotation and gotten a little better feel and stepped up as leader a little bit, been an elder statesman for NC State. You got a chance to talk to both these guys, but getting an extended look at the way that they exude confidence, the way that they carry themselves. That was one of the biggest takeaways to me was, like, if I was a player on the NC State team, I would run through a wall for those two. I mean, you're talking about on the offensive side of the football, obviously your biggest leader, regardless who's wearing the number one jersey, is going to be your quarterback. That's going to be your biggest voice. It's going to be the guy that you want to listen to and you know that needs to lead your team, and that's CJ Bailey. That's the case anywhere you go. But to have a player like Isaiah Shirley, who hasn't been a full-time starter during his time at NC State, and now is having to step into a situation where he's having to be the guy, and you're talking about somebody who was up for a prestigious award, not only for his play on the field, but for academics this past year. Also, you're talking about, you know, a guy in Duke Scott who, again, hasn't been a full-time starter, needs to step up into a situation, and neither one of those guys did you get the feeling that either one of them lacked any confidence that they were going to be a dude this upcoming season for NC State. So there's a lot of question marks surrounding them. There's plenty of question marks of, all right, man, how are these veterans fully going to look once they get on the field for NC State and have chemistry right away on the defensive side of the football? Same with the offensive side of the football. We'll talk about that here in just a second. But you know that if there's two guys that embody what NC State wants their players to look like and wants their players to sound like and wants their players to play like, it's Duke Scott and Isaiah Shirley. Those dudes understand the system that they're in and understand the city that they're playing for, understand the university that they're playing for, and what type of situation they're stepping into this upcoming season. And both of them just exuded confidence in themselves, but also confidence in their teams. And I'll talk about that in my fourth statement here, which is, number one, Bailey and Duke Scott, both extremely confident in the weapons that are around them on the offensive side of the football. You know, we don't know a ton because, as we talked about ad nauseum at this point, NC State lost their top five or top six receivers, however you want to list it. If you want to put Justin Jolie in there, which is absolutely the case, you want to put Hollywood Smothers in there, absolutely the case. Both of those guys were in the top six in terms of receptions for NC State last season, and they have none of those guys back, and you also lose Teddy Hoffman in the offseason. But talking to CJ Bailey, you know, everybody asked him about the, you know, relationship that he has with JoJo Trader, the relationship that he has with Chance Robinson, Davion Dozier, and he's like, I mean, Davion Goss. And he's like, look, man, all three of those guys, I know what they can do. I know, you know, how well they can play. They just haven't had that opportunity yet. And you know, talked about the fact that the chemistry picked right back up, right where it left off. And how could it not? You know, you look back at the fact that he's played with JoJo Trader since they were like 7, 8 years old, the fact that he's played on 7-on-7 teams with Chance Robinson, the fact that he had Davion Goss as his running back throughout Pop Warner all the way up to winning high school state championships together. So those guys know how to play with each other. They know what they're looking for. They know exactly, like, how to talk to each other, how to lead with each other, and you know, how to bring each other along too. So the fact that you've got that already built in and you bring back some pieces, at least at tight end, like Preston Douglas, bring back one piece and Keenan Jackson, when it comes to the, you know, the wide receiver core. And then you know, you get some veterans and talking to CJ Bailey, I asked him, I'm like, you know, who are some of the guys that we're not hearing enough about? And he was like, Davion Dozier is going to be a dude. Like he played extremely well during spring camp. He was somebody that was a deep down the field target on a consistent basis, was able to catch the ball against traffic. And he's somebody that he feels like can step up immediately. And then we've heard a lot about Victor Snow too, being able to step in and be a guy that at the slot position, which is where you absolutely need some help. I'm sure some others are going to step up. There will be some younger players that we'll hear about, Tyree Copper as well. We've talked about multiple times, but you know, hearing from him, it's like he not only has confidence in the guys that we're hearing a lot about, and JoJo Trader and Chance Robinson and those guys that came along with him from the state of Florida, but he has confidence in some of the other new faces too that are veterans that needed to be guys that can step up and be those experienced weapons right away for NC State too. And that brings me to the fifth point here, the not so quiet confidence about the defensive line, about the defense as a whole from Isaiah Shirley. And I wanted to play this clip really quickly from him talking about the NC State approach this season. And then I asked him about some younger players as well. So I wanted to play that really quickly.
You know, this year, it's time to burn the boats. It's time to go into the game. And when someone comes to our stadium, we lock the gates. And it's time to take that next level that everybody's talking about, being second. Everybody's tired of that. It's time to keep the door down and burn the boats. And that's the message.
Thank you. They talked a little bit about some of the younger guys stepping up and Chase Bond being one of those along the defensive line with you. How much have you seen from Chase and Josiah Victor in terms of their growth this offseason?
Yeah, so I'll speak on Chase first. So Chase, I hosted Chase. So I remember him when he first got here. And he's just a big-time dude. He wants it. And he's got that old-school, like, hunger. Like, it doesn't matter, you know, how much he's getting paid or whatever it is. He has that hunger just to be great. And that's why I think I connect with him so early. So I'm excited. It just means a whole lot. It's like, dang, bro, like, I'm so happy that you're growing up and you're about to really help us. Same thing with JoJo. JoJo's the same type of guy. And I'm excited for him, even though he's a little bit younger than me and Chase. He's still some guy we're counting on, and he's ready for it. And he knows what it takes. He's been in some games. He knows what it takes. And I'm excited to see what they both do.
How much work are you getting, if any, at the same time?
So, as you can see from that smile from Isaiah Shirley, before I even finish asking the question, it's pretty clear he has plenty of confidence in the younger guys stepping up. Chase Bond, a guy that played well last season, you know, look, didn't end up with a ton of opportunities, but finished with 11 tackles. Of those 11 tackles, he had 1.5 sacks on the season. And then Josiah Victor, somebody that also stepped up. And, you know, I'm interested to see how both of those guys play, because you go back to last season, the end of last season, Brandon Cleveland, when he went to the combine, he got asked by multiple people there, easy for me to say, you know, hey, who's next? Who's next up for NC State? And I think he got asked like 2 or 3 different times. And there's multiple videos of him saying, Josiah Victor, like he's going to be that dude. He pushed Brandon Cleveland last season. He ended up with 10 tackles last season, which, again, you're talking about a nose tackle here. You're not talking about somebody that is going to immediately, finish with a bunch of sacks or anything like that. Like Brandon Cleveland had 2 sacks last year, 36 tackles, and Josiah Victor played maybe a third of the snaps that he did and finished with 10 tackles. So pretty similar production, just didn't have the sacks to finish the job there. And then you add on to that all the buzz that we've heard about Chase Bond. I mentioned the fact that he had 1.5 sacks last season. He's somebody that I think if he can step up as a pass rusher, along with what you're getting from Isaiah Shirley trying to step up, along with what you're getting from Harvey Dyson and a few others that you brought in to be those kind of sack artists for you and help to contribute in that sense, you have a pretty strong defensive line. Now, again, it's young. Chase Bond, Josiah Victor have never been starters, so they're going to have to be brought along and get better throughout the season. So I don't know that they're going to immediately just, you know, come in the game against, going into the game against Virginia and just immediately have, you know, a massive impact. But at the same time, you know, Chase Bond got the opportunity if I remember correctly, I want to make sure I go back to this before I say anything here. Two of those tackles came in the season opener against ECU. He had another three tackles in that game against UVA last season. And then he stepped in and got the half sack against Georgia Tech, and then had a sack again, you know, kind of mop up duty against Miami, but did have the sack in that game too. So it's not that he's been against bad competition when he's you know, had bigger contributions in the past two seasons. And he's another notable guy that comes in, not a lot of pomp and circumstance in Chase Bond or really Josiah Victor, either one of them. But you know, Chase Bond was a guy in the state of Ohio that had very few offers, was waiting on some bigger offers, and they just never came. And he came to NC State on an official visit and was sold, like within a few days, committed to NC State as one of his only Power Four offers, and comes in and has been built up. He's what you're looking for in Dave Doran's system. Like, he's still the proof of Dave Doran's system working. And that to me is another sign that, hey man, you know, maybe this does work from time to time. It's not always going to be an exact science. It's not always going to work the way that, you know, it did back in the early days of Dave Doran's system, where he's able to go out and, you know, recruit Nyheim Hines, Bradley Chubb, you know, Justin Jones, BJ Hill, Contavious Street, all those guys, and build them up into Jermaine Pratt, all those players and offensive linemen that could be built up. And all right, over 4 years, we're going to be great. Or 4 years from now, after this recruiting class, it doesn't quite work that way because you have too much attrition at this point. So you've got to mix it in with transfer portal guys. But like, seeing those dudes step up and seeing some of the other guys along this defensive line, Isaiah Shirley, namely, as well. You know, this is his fourth year of the program, and in only 3 years he's been a contributor, but has, you know, potentially another fifth year as well. So he's a guy to certainly watch for this season. But all those guys, along with what you went out and got in the transfer portal, at spots where you were at a deficit. So it gave me a little more confidence along the defensive line. Again, there's still a lot that has to be improved, and significantly, because you go back to last season, it was one of the worst pass rushes in the ACC. The leader in sacks last year was Trey Thomas, who rarely played a large role and had four last season. Like, as much as, you know, Caden Fordham had a ton of tackles, he finished with 3.5 sacks. Trevali Price, 3.5 sacks. Sebastian Harsh, 2.5 sacks. And I believe one or two of those came in that season opener. So as much as you got to the quarterback, they didn't actually get him down. So, and I know good pass rush does not always equate to sacks. Sometimes it equates to interceptions. Sometimes it equates to, you know, just broken plays. But the pass rush has got to get significantly better to be able to alleviate some of the pressure off the rest of the defense as well. And look, just give the offensive football back. It's that simple. So we'll talk much more about NC State in the coming weeks. Also, like I said, have a story on Jordan Page later today. We'll have some more football content. If you haven't checked it out already, do make sure to check out Michael Clark's story from this morning. He had some more quotes from maybe some interviews you might have missed on CJ Bailey, talking about JoJo Trader and that relationship they have. Also talking about Katron Evans as well, and his current status, and, you know, what's going on behind the scenes and where things stand there. A little bit of an update I haven't seen anywhere else on him. So do make sure that you guys check that out. Also, again, have much more football coverage leading up to the start of fall camp, which will be on July 29th. So thank you to everybody for listening. We will talk to you again soon.